It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. For years, he's been considered the most powerful politician in Wisconsin, serving as Speaker of the State Assembly for a record 13 years.
Last week, Republican Robin Voss of Rochester announced that he will step down at the end of his term, leaving a seat he first won back in 2004.
Voss's retirement comes as Republicans are still working towards a deal with Governor Evers on whether to use the state's budget surplus for property tax relief and school funding.
I caught up with Speaker Voss yesterday to talk about where the work on the deal is and what the legislature might still accomplish before he wraps up his time in office. Your negotiations over the state's budget surplus with Governor Evers, it started with a laser focus on lowering property taxes, but a couple factors that could affect that, the governor's 400-year partial veto and more general state aid for schools, those, you know, seem to be off the table. Have your talks gotten off track?
I don't think so. I mean, they're still in the very early stages. I would say the good news is we both agree on the idea that property taxes are too high and we need to do something about it. We think it's best to be able to get the money either directly back to the people who are paying the bill so that they can decide how best to spend it, or putting it into direct relief where it goes on the property tax bill and you'll be able to see the reduction. The governor wants to give the money to schools, a different way of getting the money out the door. We're certainly open to finding something in the middle, but it's probably not going to be all his way or all our way. We're going to have to find a compromise.
Very early stages. What does that mean?
We've met with the governor once by Zoom, but he was gone to the National Governors Association. So we've met with his staff since. We haven't met yet this week, but the hope is we'll be able to keep things rolling along.
The plan that you and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu backed earlier this month is a more than $2.3 billion package. It's pairing a tax rebate with additional funding for special education and then the one-time tax rebates. But it would nearly completely erase the state's projected budget surplus. Can the state afford to take that step when any number of factors could leave us in a deficit?
There's no doubt we can, because don't forget, in the last budget that we passed, we left a pretty healthy balance of $500 million. The good news for Wisconsinites is that we have a huge rainy day fund. We actually have so much in the rainy day fund by statute, we stopped putting more into it. And we also have a statutory balance. So all of those are already built into the equation. So the money that came in, about $2 billion more than we thought. So now, rather than keeping that money in Madison, we think it's important to get it back to people who are paying high costs of everything associated with inflation. So, yeah, we certainly can do it. And the idea of trying to make sure we're responsible, I mean, in the plan we gave the governor, it's a one-time rebate. So we would know certainly the money is there. It's whether or not we can keep it going forward. So if the governor wants to have something more permanent, I'm certainly open to that. But again, it can't just be all spending. It has to be tax relief mixed in with some increased funding for schools.
Some increased funding for schools. What do you envision?
Well, the good news is we had that bipartisan budget that passed what seems like forever ago, but just last summer. We had the largest increase in spending on special education since the state started funding it. So that was a really good step forward. But because we put a provision in the budget that now says school districts that spend more than $30,000 in a school year on any special ed student get that reimbursed at 90%. Well, there's a big demand for that funding. So the money actually that we allocated based on the estimates of what had been done in the past came up short. So we would put more money into special education to keep the commitment that we promised in the budget. And again, we still have plenty of money left to be able to make sure we do some kind of property tax relief through the school levy credit or the rebates that we've talked about as well.
There was zero increase of general state aid for public schools in this two-year budget. And now we hear superintendents from districts all over the state who are asking the legislature to set aside politics and increase school funding. Now there's a lawsuit against the legislature. You know, schools are having trouble with basic things, keeping lights on, keeping the heat on, trying to make payroll. You know, what will Republicans do about that? Why isn't there action?
Well, there has been action, which is why if you go back to that bipartisan budget that Governor Evers signed, we actually did exactly what the schools requested. They said put the resources into special ed, which is why we had the largest increase really in the history of the program. So that is exactly what they asked us to do. Now, one of the things that Wisconsinites probably aren't aware of but there are 10,000 fewer students that are in first grade than students are in seniors in high school. So we have declining populations of students in almost every single school district in the state. And the idea that we're going to be able to keep every school district the exact same as it was and every school open with fewer students every single year just because of birth rates, that's got to change. So we want to make sure that school districts are making wise decisions. I mean, they have the ability to figure out what to do. Many of them decided to max out because of the governor's 400-year veto property tax increases. So I'm certainly open to the idea that we would put it into property tax relief, but just putting it into more spending without any kind of accountability built in is bad for the taxpayer and certainly not going to fix the problem because we have this declining enrollment issue.
So inflation is not an excuse for these districts not to be able to make ends meet.
No, I mean, we've already been able to see that. I mean, part of the challenge is that in the school funding formula, because it's based on the number of students, if you had 1,000 students, you know, you get X dollars. Well, if you only have 900, you get less money from the state and the local property taxpayer. So it's really a factor of declining enrollment. That's really what the structural problem is. So we've got to find ways. You know, the state of Wisconsin has 10% of the population of California, but we have more school districts. So the idea that, again, we can keep everything like we always have with changing times probably can't occur. So we want to sit with the governor and have a good faith negotiation to say, look, let's put more money into special ed like we promised. I mean, we're certainly open to looking at increased funding for schools, but it's got to be focused on property tax relief and fundamental changes to keep schools healthy going forward, not just kind of putting it into the same system without any real reforms.
We're in conversation with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who announced he's retiring at the end of his term after 13 years leading the Assembly. So as you look out in the months ahead, state legislature out of session, there are floor session dates available next month, in addition to the possibility of a special session. What legislation, if any, would warrant bringing the Assembly back into session for you?
Well, the good news is that we've been working really hard for all of last year and this year. So keeping with the tradition of, you know, basically 50 years, the legislature adjourns in the spring so that we can focus the policymaking and the politics and make sure that they never cross each other. So, of course, we will come back if we get any kind of a deal with Governor Evers. So we can call an extraordinary session. We can have a special session. There are floor days in March, so it's certainly possible. But on all the other items that we've taken up, I feel like those are pretty much set. They worked their way through the committee process, and now it's just up to the Senate to act on a lot of the good work that we did in the Assembly.
So you don't feel it would be likely that the Assembly would be called back?
Only if we get a deal with Governor Evers. So if we certainly keep negotiating and can find a way to return the surplus to property taxpayers and fund schools, we'll be back with no challenges. But if we can't find a deal, then certainly, you know, we won't have a need to come back.
You came under fire during your tenure from some Republicans for refusing to overturn the 2020 election in Wisconsin. What do you make of President Trump's calls now to nationalize elections?
Well, I've always believed that there should be some basic standards. You know, of course, we have constitutional rights where people have the right to one person, one vote. That is not based on the state that you live in. But I think that the way we administer elections pretty much has been state-based, and I think that that is a much better way to do it. I will say on something like requiring that everyone in the country is a citizen or that everyone in the country has to show a photo ID, you know, I'm okay with that idea because it doesn't matter if you're in Alabama or Arkansas, New York or California, you should have to show a photo ID so that we don't have non-citizens or folks who aren't eligible to vote casting a ballot, you know, literally negating the efforts of us here in Wisconsin. So I don't want elections to be run nationally, but I'm okay with a few national standards like we do to guarantee equal access to the ballot box.
Why retire now?
You know, I've done a long time. You know, I thought about retiring a couple years ago, but then with that crazy recall against me, I didn't want to kind of reinvigorated me to say I still think I could make a difference. Wisconsin is at a pretty good spot. We've been able to show that with Republicans in a trifecta, Wisconsin literally reduced their tax burden, fully funded our schools, and made us a place that job creators want to locate. And during Governor Evers' time, we showed that we have the ability to compromise and find middle ground. I didn't get everything we wanted, and certainly the Democrats didn't either. But I think that we're at a good spot where my wife and I want to travel a little bit. Our business is growing. You know, I had a minor health issue that kind of just made me realize, while I love what I do and I think I've done a good job, it's time to pass the baton and let somebody else have a turn.
You mentioned the recall against you in 2022. We're headed toward an election cycle now where President Trump's approval rating is near a record low. Do state GOP candidates need to distance themselves from the president? What is the strategy heading into the midterms?
I don't think so. I mean, there was a brand new poll that was out just today that shows President Trump at 44%, which is pretty much the standard where second-term presidents are. So it's no surprise that, you know, he's at that point. He has been able to win across the country, and especially in Wisconsin, where he's been a 50-50 candidate. You know, our candidates have always overperformed the top of the ticket, whether it was Barack Obama or Donald Trump. So I think our candidates will do that again. They have to fight for what they believe in. The best part about this election cycle, Kate, is it's not about federal issues. Once every 12 years, there's no U.S. Senate race on the ballot, and it's really just about what's best for Wisconsin. And I think if you look what we've done, from making sure that we have funding for childcare and a university, for schools, trying to focus on tax relief, I think we have a really good record that people are going to look and say, you know, this isn't about Washington. This is about people who live in Waukesha and, you know, every other place in Wisconsin. I was interested that the Democrats are trying to make it about Donald Trump because they don't have really much to offer here in Wisconsin beyond empty rhetoric. So my hope is that the citizens of Wisconsin will say we want it to be about what we need, not about what's happening in a faraway capital.
Very quickly, what do we need here in Wisconsin?
Well, we have demographic challenges. One of the things that we know is that this huge surplus that we have, the biggest chunk of it is from capital gains. And that's successful people who are living in Wisconsin because we have a reasonable tax climate. And we certainly don't want to have Democrats focused on increasing taxes and driving job creators out, like is happening in California or New York or some of these places where people are literally fleeing for warmer, cheaper climates. I think we have demographic challenges. We have to make sure we have good quality services, but I think we've done a good job with that. So there's a lot of things that Wisconsin has to offer. We just have to focus on the positive and keep the cost of living as low as we can for the people who are lucky enough to choose to live here.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, thank you for joining us.
Always enjoy it, Kate. Have a good day.
That is Republican State Representative Robin Voss of Rochester, the Speaker of the State Assembly. He announced this month that he is retiring at the end of this term.